This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices with which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh to the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. If you are with me so far, say amen. There are key outstanding things in this scripture as we started. The Bible said that for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. You see, when you look into this scripture, the first thing that is striking here is that there is a purpose that is in the heart of God for raising a priesthood. So every priesthood, are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. The verse 1 clearly showed us that the purpose of priesthood is to bring men to that word in verse 1 that is called perfect. Say after me, perfect. Now, perfection in this context is not sinlessness. Perfection in this context is full maturity and completeness in the context of God's building within you and God's building through you. And anytime we speak about perfection in the context of God's construction, there are two positions that we must see. The first position is the subjective position, where the building of God is in you as an individual. You see, but beyond the building of God in you as an individual is the building of God in us as a corporate representation of His house. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ is the only means through which God has ordained to accomplish His purposes. The church is not an afterthought, and the church is not the making of man. The body of Christ was not born. The church was not born because you gathered here. But the church is a mystical organ. It is something that is existing in Christ in the Spirit. Now, what happens is that when you got born again, you are brought into the body. There is a difference between a congregation and a church. That is in the exact context of the scripture. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. A congregation is not bad, but what God is interested in, what has a spiritual stature and relevance, and in the context of administration, what has functionality, is the church, not the congregation. So we gather in a congregation, but functionally in the Spirit, what we can bring as our power of execution are those people that in the congregation are part of the church. So now, there is a difference between joining a church physically and being a functional part of the church. The reason why this teaching and series is important is the degree to which you are functionally part of the church, not congregation. You see, you can rise in rank in a congregation and become one of the elders, become one of the biggest pastors, but in the church you have small authority. The reason is because functionally in the body of Christ, you have not retained what it takes for a man to actually grow in authority. The rating of spiritual authority is different from the way men rate. So a man can grow in the congregation, but he has not grown in the church. Because the growth in the church of Jesus Christ is organic. What do I mean by organic? Organic is living, something living. You can't force it, it's life. You see, man of God, when you were born, probably this young lady is bigger than you, very small. What did you do to make yourself to grow? Is it not to eat? There is nothing this young lady can do to force herself to be my size, except for the fact that she has to feed. The system through which that life that was embedded in you in new birth is being grown to full maturity is what is called priesthood. So if you go through the scripture, there are two paths that priesthood can take. And many times, pastors still operate the Aaronic priesthood as against the priesthood of Melchizedek. The whole book of Hebrews is a contrast and comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the old priesthood and the new priesthood. Are you seeing it now? Now, I will still go back to chapter 9, because if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, the writer of the book of Hebrews, whom I believe is Paul, even though they didn't say tell us, but his language is completely Paul's language, was telling us, and he has said it in several places, that the law is holy. I said, I don't understand. With all these things Paul said about the law in the book of Romans, everything, he still said that the law is holy. But there is a challenge. It was given to a man in the flesh. You see now. So the man in the flesh lacks the capacity to keep the demands of the law. Now, when you operate in the spirit, you are not lawless. It's just that you are operating by a higher law. And there are several laws of the spirit. Several. As a matter of fact, the laws of the spirit, Moses gave us 100 and something laws, but the laws of the spirit is countless. When you begin to yield organically to the workings of the Holy Spirit, my brother, join me. Are you with time? Just check your time in 5 minutes. Join me. My heart is burning. I have so much to say. Maybe tomorrow or next, we have to do morning session. We need like 3 to 4 hours teaching so that I will be able to lay some strong things. I hope you people can enjoy doctrine. If the pillars of our faith, the foundations are not well set, we can't grow well. The scripture said clearly that if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Many instances, the challenges in our walk with God is not as if we are not doing some good things now. They are traced to the foundation. It is not well laid. And then we are coming around after many years to build a superstructure on top of a foundation that is weak. You see, you can't carry it. And the weakness of your foundation will not be revealed until the day that you have grown. That's the day we will now find out that your foundations are not strong enough to carry the calling that you think you have. Once you try to manifest that calling, your foundation will be weak. It will be giving you away. You will be trying, you will be failing. After some time, you ask yourself, did God even call me? It's traced to the foundation. You see, if you're with me so far, say amen. The scripture said that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I don't want to go there, but this is simply what I want to say here. There is a measure of accuracy you can never have in your walk with God until you encounter the ministry of a genuine apostle. Not people that call themselves one. When you see one, you will know. Because it's not title that makes you one. Okay, let me stop it. It's not title. If Satan even takes that your title serious, you will suffer. The reason why you have not suffered is that Satan has not taken you serious. He assumes that you are a joker. The day he takes you serious, one warfare only will make you to backslide. You know what the Bible said about them?
He said that he has presented them first. It's just like somebody presenting something as a showpiece. Like you are in a car shop. You now, the rest of the cars are inside, protected. They now bring out the show one and put it under the rain, under the sun. Everything is hitting it to check whether it's strong enough. So from the impact and response of that one inside, we will now go inside and tell them, do like this. The people inside are enjoying. They will never come outside. Rain and sun will be beating. If the leg of the car do like this, we will now go inside and tell them, don't allow the leg to move. So they are using those people outside to test what others can survive. That's not where I'm going. If you are there, the kind of grace you will have is unusual. You will not even try to convince anybody. It will be flowing. And of course, every calling has the measure of the gift. So every calling is not at the same measure of gift. So you can see two pastors at different measures of the gift of pastoring. So it's in vain you are trying to contend with somebody with a higher measure of the gift of the same office. The same office, but different measure. Are you seeing it? When you operate beyond your measure, you enter into error. When you operate beyond your measure, you are out of covering. Satan can attack you. Several things can happen. As a matter of fact, several challenges we have in the body of Christ many times is as a result of some people that operated out of the context of their measure. It will not take time. You will know that this person is out of sort, that is not operating within the boundaries of his calling. There is no covering of grace, and there is no authority to execute. If you're with me so far, say amen. So Paul was busy telling us that the law is holy, that there are several things. In fact, Jesus was himself came and said that he came to fulfill the law. I said, so the law is that important. So it will mean that we need to sit down and analyze the things about the law that made it incompetent. And if you check the book of Hebrews, the scripture is not, unlike the book of Romans, it is the exact thing about the old covenant that is being spoken about in the Romans is the law. The exact thing in the book of Hebrews that is being spoken about, the exact thing about the old covenant in the book of Hebrews that is being spoken about is the priesthood. Are you seeing it now? The challenge of the writer of the book of Romans with the old covenant is its law and the innate capacity in the law to make you weak. The law will tell you pray for 2 hours. It will not give you the power to pray. Are you seeing the law? It's wicked. That's Paul's challenge. The law will come and tell you, be holy, don't fornicate. It will not give you power. It will just be presenting naked women before you. And there is no power to say no. Are you now getting where I'm going? The law will tell you fast. No power to fast. The law will come and tell you, this week, do 2 days dry fasting. There is no power. In fact, as soon as he finished telling you, it will be presenting all manner of good meals. Hey, those days we started learning fasting. My mother will wake up early in the morning. Normally she doesn't do breakfast for us. But I don't know how they know that I've decided to fast today. Am I the only one it has happened? The day you decide to fast, food will appear early in the morning. That's how food appeared early in the morning. And they were begging me to eat. Oh my God. Now, one of the days, I did not eat physically. But in my mind, I ate 3 plates. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I can prove it with the scripture. It's the same thing. In the old covenant, the scripture, Jesus was telling those Pharisees and Sadducees, when you sleep with a woman is a sin. But Jesus told them in the new covenant, when you think in your heart, it means that there are many fornicators here. That's another way to prove to you that in the new covenant, the law is not taken away. It is even taken higher. Because the power that makes you to live in accordance with the demands of this new law is very high. The Holy Spirit trusts himself to make you to live according to his demand. He knows what he can do. That's why he will tell you to do those things when he powers you there.
A day came, I began to fast. Small, small. I began to fast. I began to beckon on the Holy Spirit. Help me. Help me. Help me to fast. Help me. I was in the university that time. My 50th, 500 level. Every month, I will leave. Hunger will hold me. Initially, I didn't know how it works. So before, if I will start fasting tomorrow, this night, I will eat 3 times. I'm not the only one that have done it now. I will eat 3 times. Come, I'm about to go on a marathon fast. The reason why I'm eating 3 times is so that, you know, I will have enough food to last me. Are you with me? But I noticed something. Anytime I eat before a fast, the hunger will be more. Am I the only one? Satan, this flesh, you can't trust this flesh. It will deceive and it will deal with you. The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that weakens. Every attempt to discipline the flesh with the energy of the flesh will fail you. Because the flesh is ancient. Ooh, this flesh, it is existing before you came. It has mastered all the way to take advantage of you. The only way to conquer the flesh is to latch on to the ancient spirit. Only the person older than the flesh can deal with the flesh. You are just 50 years old. You can't do much. That's the challenge with the old covenant. It tells us many things to do and allows us to the power of the flesh. I will start praying. 10 minutes later, I'm so tired. I'll be doing... Stop. Sometimes we start fasting. And by 9 a.m. in the morning, you have started cooking the food you will eat when you finish fasting. Is it not true? Those days, I said I would do 6 to 6. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Those days. So I fasted, prayed, did some things. Huh? In fact, those days, I used to do what is called fasting and busy. Sometimes you fasting and busy. You know what I'm saying? Especially women, married women, they know how to do it well. They will be in the kitchen, turning their children clothes, doing this one, and time will be passing. Time will be... They did not pray. They didn't do anything. They are just running down time. You just run down the time. You didn't fast. Running down time is not fast. The problem is that you can think you fasted. The realm of the spirit did not recognize your sacrifices. Remember where we read, where we started. The scripture said that they cannot, with these sacrifices that they bring yearly, make men perfect. It means, watch it, that sacrifice have the capacity to bring perfection to men. Unfortunately, sacrifice under the auspices of the old covenant represented in the Aaronic priesthood lacks the capacity to bring perfection. Meanwhile, the target of God is what? Perfection. Say after me, perfection. It means that sacrifices in the energy of the flesh, motivated by the flesh, can never bring perfection. So we have to introduce another regime powered by an ancient spirit. It is only what is powered by the Holy Spirit that can be acceptable before God. See, you have no capacity to do anything for God. So God is the one that is at work in us, both to what? We. And to what? Do. You have nothing to do. All you need to do is to yield. If God said fast, ask him, where is the grace to fast? I don't want to kill myself in the flesh. Where is the grace? A man that knows this, we pray for help more than he prays for any other thing. We pray for grace more than he prays for any other thing.
There are several people that have started and they fell away along the path. When the men that finished, they received much grace. No wonder Paul said, having received much more grace and mercy, we faint not. If you don't receive grace and mercy, you will faint. Surely, you are only but a man. Zambia, your day has come. Listen, there are things that if God begins to teach a nation, it means that he has remembered them. If I'm here and I'm teaching you how to buy a new car, and I'm prophesying to you and telling you, your singlet is yellow, how did that contribute to your growth in God? People are not, they don't know what matters in the spirit. How is that a prophetic edification? Because the very impact, the very first thing that the prophetic does is to edify. What is edification? Building up. Oikodomio. It is one coach. It's a construction site. The best way to understand what God is doing is for you to see it as a construction site. Anytime your eye leaves God's construction in your life, you will not stop making progress. That will mean that any day you come before God to engage any spiritual discipline, your target is to add one coach, one block, one stone to the building. When you see one stone on top of the building, it will be a proof that there is edification. Any other thing you did not add anything to that superstructure of God's construction is an effort in futility. In context, you just wasted time. Heaven is not aware of what you are doing. And if there is a grace of gift that powered what you are doing, it will mean that it is wasted. This is another vessel that wasted our grace. That will be the verdict of heaven. And when they throw you on the scales to check your impact and weight in the spirit, the verdict will be mene mene. Take care of us. We have weighed you and we found your want. How heavy are you in the spirit? God doesn't count his men, he weighs them. What did I say? God doesn't count his men, he weighs them. Even from the old covenant. A day came, God told Moses, step out one side. I will use you to raise another nation. Let me clear all these people. The implication is this. And as far as God is concerned, one man, Moses, weighs more than all the nation of Israel combined together. One man. God doesn't count his men. He weighs them. Turn to your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, how heavy are you in the spirit? How heavy? It's time to weigh men. God is throwing people on the balances. It's easy to talk in the mouth. It's easy to do many. But when you check a person in the spirit, what he can cause to happen per time, you will find out that he is lightweight. He's lightweight. Heavy man. That's why we pray and fast the way we fast. It's not just to have physical result. It's to be heavy enough to have a transgenerational impact for God. Are you getting the point? When you stand, you are standing in the gates of your generations, your family generations. Anytime they reckon, you are like a pillar, a signpost. The scripture spoke about men that families are surnamed after. What does it mean for somebody to become the surname of a generation? It means that you walk with God long enough to carry the weight, to become the reference point of every man that passed through that lineage. So anytime something is coming from that family, they have to trace it to you. That means you are surnamed. That lineage is surnamed. Go and read the book of Matthew chapter 1. They were talking about the genealogy of Jesus. First of all, they listed many names. But after some time, they said, the generation from Adam to Abraham was 10. From Abraham to David, 10. From David to Joseph. The question is, who are the people in between? Are you getting where I'm going? That means all those generations are summarized and surnamed under David and Abraham. So you cannot be correct in your journey in that lineage until you take upon yourself the surname of David and Abraham. That is what it means for a man to walk with God and become heavy. Huh? Such a man, you don't die. 100 years is not enough for you to live your destiny. So by the time you finish from this life, you sleep. Huh? And then you stand in the annals of eternity as a witness. And every man that will journey through the land and in the territory will encounter your witness if he will receive the capacity to make an impact that will be long lasting. I want to be heavy in the spirit. God came and met me. He said, Apostle, what are you still looking for? Now, aside the fact that even physically that is not true, he said, look at what God is doing. Look at how you are anointed. I said, this man doesn't know where we are going. Huh? If you allow me, I summarize all this preaching ministry, lock myself in a room for 3 years, not come out. I'll be there cooking myself, going deep. One moment of impact from a man of the secret place will make more imprint in your life than a man that doesn't have a secret place. You just be chattering around, moving around, activities without impact, activities without life, ministry without spirit. It can only kill people. It can't raise them. It can only raise men if there is spirit and life available. There is something that builds the spirit of a man and brings him to the point of perfection or maturity. That is the very target of priesthood, as it was recorded in the book of Hebrews. So every other activity that is taking place that lacks the ability to bring men to maturity is not something that has captured God's full intent. It is on this basis that the scripture began to look, and the man that wrote the book of Hebrews started finding challenges with the old covenant as it is captured in the priesthood thereof. Because the priesthood showed us many things, but it didn't bring us to the exact thing that is in the heart of God. So if you stay under Aaron as your pastor, if you stay 10 years, you are still a baby. If you stay 15 years, you are still a baby. If you stay 20 years, you are still a baby. Meanwhile, God called you to mature. So you see it. When you enter a ministry, there are two things that the priest can focus on. That is what I'm trying to show you. There is the priesthood of services. Listen to me. Every pastor should know this. If this understanding is not in your heart, you will not be able to have what it takes to raise people. The wisdom of God will not occur to you, such a wisdom that it takes for you to raise men. Do you know what it takes to actually raise a man for God? Do you know what it takes? You don't. Man is complex. He's so complex that it takes the Holy Spirit to search you out. Man is so complex that he came to a point, the Bible said that it is not given to a man to direct his paths. It's not given to you. You don't even know how to direct your path. It takes a superior personality to bring you into that economy. So first of all, when you come to priesthood, there is a priesthood of services or servanthood. Number one, what did I say? A priesthood of what? Services or servanthood. Let me say it one more time. A priesthood of what? Services or servanthood. These people are interested in how the church is run, how to maintain membership, grow. Are you getting it? Those things are good. Services of the altar. That's what the scripture is saying. Now let me read it for you. I just put a summary word to the exact thing that the writer of the book of Hebrews said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer. Are you seeing it? There is an offering. According to this book of Hebrews, are you with me here? The scripture made us to understand that every priest must have gifts to offer. I mean, according to the Old Testament, people, what it means to be a pastor is that you are busy. You are busy. There are, sometimes you can even sometimes you organize this kind of service, organize this kind of, you are looking for tactics. Spiritual growth is not by human tactics. There are only a few things to do for you to grow. There are not many. There are not many. The only thing is the way you do it now is what is important. But there are not many. Unfortunately, those things are hard. So as human beings, we are looking for a way to circumvent it. To circumvent it. And there are pastors that are willing to allow people to follow that path. And what will happen is that people will sit under you. They are not growing. It will mean that that pastor is not achieving God's purpose. If you are with me so far, say amen. A young man chatted me on social media. He's from this Zambia. He said, Apostle, I can't make it to this meeting. It's far. But I've saved money for anointing oil. Wait. This is heartbreaking. It is something that should make all of us come to the altar and mourn and cry. Because it means that something is wrong with the foundation. Something is wrong. Imagine a meeting like this. What is in a bottle of oil that can equate what you received on the first day? You see, something has happened to their mind. So they are not willing to do what it takes for them to grow. You see it? So he's saying, how much is anointing oil? How much is anointing oil? How much is anointing oil? You see, what you do to those kind of people is that you block them physically and spiritually. If you pastor those kind of people, you are not making progress, oh pastor. See, brothers and sisters, I told you people, I've been around ministry for a while. I saw this before my very eyes. People will come and put a demand on the small anointing that you get. Your small gifting. The day it goes down, they leave and find the next person. That means they didn't grow. If they grew, they can't leave. You didn't serve them the right meal. Huh? You were giving them appetizers. 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 Are you seeing it? When the next new thing comes, they leave because there is no weight inside. It takes the word and prayer, fasting, discipline, that consecration, holiness. That's how people grow. When somebody stumbles upon the anointing on that path, he will have the grace and spiritual discipline to hold, contain, and service it. You see, it seems as if my words are getting hard. Is it not true? That's my calling. A genuine apostle comes with a plumb line. You know what is a plumb line? Except you are a builder, you will not know what I'm saying. A plumb line. You bring it to a construction and put it on the three coaches that have been built and check whether it is standing straight. You are building, thank God, but is it straight? We adjust it. We put it into our. Oil. The man said oil. I said, why not use your oil money and transport yourself? What is in oil? What is anointing oil? That thing you call anointing oil in Europe is for cooking, or is for frying plantain. No, you will not. That thing, that what is powerful is not the bottle. What is powerful is the spirit inside. In case there is a spirit inside, that spirit has filled this atmosphere. And somebody is still saying, but, something is wrong with our building. We need to go back. That's why I started yesterday with the apostolic pattern and the apostolic culture. You cannot have apostolic result without the apostolic travail, without the apostolic culture. The apostolic pattern. We are just wasting time. There is a set of things they knew and did that gave them the result that they have. You are doing all that thing, doing all that thing, doing all that things, and expecting God to just invade Zambia. Just because you said it. So just because you said God come to Zambia, he will come. You are proud. Do you know who you are talking to? You know, there is something with, the more we go, Christianity is making God as if they are, human beings are making God as if he is their mate. He is their mate. Do you know who is God self? Come out in the night by 12 a.m. and look at everywhere. Go around Zambia. See Victoria Falls. See everywhere. When you finish, that is just one small part of what he created. That is just the earth, what of the moon and the stars. Then you come out and you are talking to him as if he's your mate. Bow down, bow down, bow down. The Holy Ghost is not your mate. I saw somewhere and somebody said, I command the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost? No. The Holy Spirit is a king spirit. In the ancient days, from our culture, I don't know about your culture, a king doesn't trek. Those days, our real kings, they don't trek. They are carried. Is it not the same around here? The real higher kings, not the smaller one. There, in our place, there are hierarchies of kings. The higher kings, they don't trek with you. They are carried. That's what the scripture spoke about God in the book of Ezekiel. The cherubs, they carry, you know, the representation of the Ark of Moses. It is borne on the shoulder. Somebody bears God. God doesn't walk on the ground. He's always sitting. Is it somebody that is sitting that you are calling, you are commanding? After commanding him for 10 years, he will command you. The day you receive mercy, God will command you. Wait. Now, in case God has not commanded you, you have not received mercy. You will keep wandering in the wilderness as a lost soul without respite. Have you read the story of Jacob when he contended with an angel? That angel representing the Lord. You know, the story that we were told is that Jacob wrestled with the angel and he defeated him. Is it not true? Touch this, our mama. Is it not true? Until you read the book of Hosea, I think. The Hosea, Amos. The scripture told us it's not true. Jacob did not win anything. They actually won Jacob. They touched him. How did you win when they touched you and you are like this? Is he like, does it look like a picture of somebody that won? The problem is that Jacob is too strong for God to use him. So he wrestled with God all night. The day, the moment Jacob won was when God won. When God defeated Jacob, it was there that Jacob won. Now listen to me. Until God defeats you, you won't make progress. The areas of your life that God has defeated your will and agenda and ambition, those are the areas that you are making progress in God. You need to cry, God, defeat me on time. Let me not waste my time in this job. Where are the things that I'm very obstinate, very stubborn? The paths that I've charted and created for myself in those places, defeat me. Defeat me. I'm just a Jacob, but I need an encounter. Let a ladder stand from here to heaven. May it be revealed to me the things that is bigger than me. Let the altars superior to me, let them begin to speak. And when they speak, let them bring into my life a dealing, an encounter that will defeat everything that I've built by the power of humanity. At that point, a new man will emerge. It is from that point that he was no more Jacob, he became Israel. For on that day, God defeated him. The power of Jacob is not that he defeated God. It is that God defeated him. But you are not aware. God has made progress in your life to the measure that he has defeated you, defeated your way, defeated your ways, defeated your ambition, defeated your plans. If what you are running is still your plan for your life, you have not met God yet. The day you met God, the day you meet God, you drop your plans. You are still holding the plan you planned when you were still a small girl. Say, I will I will go to school, marry, find a good job, marry, and then bear children, plant a garden, plant. You have not met Jesus. The day you meet Jesus, you forget your garden. You forget that you want a knight in a shining armor to just appear in Lusaka with a horse, cover his face, and say, "Darling, I want to carry you and fly away." You have not met Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you will start fasting. When you meet Jesus, you start praying. Not normal fasting, no. 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. is not fasting. You forgot your breakfast. Is it not true? Try and push it to 6 p.m., 6 to 3, except you are sick. And if you are sick, trust God to heal you, because it has not exempted you from anything. If you are sick, go to the doctor. If they can't deal with it, trust God to heal you anyway. He has not exempted you from anything. After you are healed, come back and fast. Listen here. If you have ulcer, and ulcer is preventing you from fasting, it's going now in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Because of the grace I have, anywhere I go, also I live. Whether I pray or not. Because God has given me grace to bring men to the secret place. I was in an encounter and God gave me a key. I said, "What is the meaning of this key?" He said that this key is the key of the secret place. That when you go to places and meetings, give it to people. You don't know what I'm saying. This is the greatest key you can have. Listen to me. When a man has the key to the secret place, you will find out what it means for you to engage Bible study, prayer, and fast as if it's normal. It's a key. Lift up your hands and say, "Lord, give me my own key. Give me, make it a prayer. 1 minute, give me my own key. I don't want to struggle with prayer again ever. I don't want to struggle with fasting again. I don't want to struggle with Bible studies." No, you are not praying. Is this way you are praying? Ask God to give you your key. Oh, secret place. Symbols, you are getting it. Oh, That's the hand of God on this young lady. Jesus, you can keep her here. Keep her here. Jesus. Stronger. Stronger. There is a set of people here. What God will give you will affect others. Listen, this is what it will do. When you pray, fast, engage anything, because of you, people will pray. It's beyond you now. You don't need to tell them. When people see you, when they look at you, they will start praying. Something will move them. Father, find those ones. I release the garments by fire. Find them for me. The fire is coming. The fire is coming. The fire is coming. The fire is coming. You lift up your hands. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, receive fire on your altar. Push! The two of them went under power. Michael, Michael. Keep them here. You can keep them here. Wherever you are, lift up your hands for 2 minutes. Let's pray together. Pray together. Pray together. Please be in the spirit. Something is happening. There are three pastors here. I don't know where they are. The Lord said, I should tell you, he wants to renew your altar. The power of a priest is his altar. You know that national reviver? Help the young man. You know that national reviver? The one that Elijah brought. Help those pastors. They help them. Help them. My God. My God. My God. My God. Holy Ghost. My God. Pastors, the fire is strong. It's strong. It's strong. The fire is strong. Bring up for me. The national revival that took place in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. The man Elijah, when he came back, the first thing that Elijah, the first thing that Elijah did was to restore the altar. That means his real power was the altar. It's only a man that is not experiencing the spirit that is joking with his altar. In fact, the prophets of power, he called them and said, arrange your own altar, call down your fire. Their altar was weak, it cannot bring down fire. There is an altar that can call down fire, Pastor. Pastors, are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let their altar catch fire at the count of three. Let their altar be restored, be renewed. Open it once with coals. Fill their altar now at the count of three. One, two, three. Touch, 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 touch. Fire! Fire! Let your altar pour. Let it pour. Let it pour. Let it pour. Let it pour. Just cover him, give him. Cover him. The Lord is healing people now, my God. Lift up your hands, let me. Stronger, 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 stronger. Listen, if you are sitting here, look at me. There is a vessel of God here. I don't know the person. I just saw the person in the general direction of this place. From that wall, from that young man on black. Look at me. Lift your hands. Stretch your hands towards me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, put your hands on this one. Brother, come out from there. Come out. Father, in the name of Jesus, put your hands on them. Put your hands. Put your hands. Put your hands. Put your hands. Stronger. Jesus. The Lord is healing people now. There is healing and deliverance. There is a woman I saw here carrying something. No, the person I'm talking about is carrying like something like a picture or something. Sitting here. Has she gone? No, it's not a he, it's a woman. She was here. Okay. If I say in the name of Jesus, you shout amen. In the name of Jesus. I decree over your life, may the Lord meet you at the point of your expectation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If there is anyone here in search of a miracle, receive it now in the name of Jesus. You better believe this prayer I'm praying for you now. As I'm praying for you now, your miracle is being handed out to you. And if there is anyone sick here right now, take your hands and put on that part of your body. If it's your mother or anybody that is sick and is not here, you can put your hands at that part of the body that is ailing that person. In the name of Jesus. The fire of God is everywhere. The fire of God is everywhere. I come against every demon that is afflicting you. Every power of darkness. Every power of sickness. Every power of witchcraft. I bind you now. I command you to leave. In the name of Jesus. I break your hold. In the name of Jesus. Your amen need to be louder. Angels are moving everywhere. I lose you now in the name of Jesus. I lose you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus. What is the problem? Leave them. Leave them. Stop. Leave them. Please, leave them. Don't worry. Come. Come out. Come out. Just allow them. Hey, leave them. I rebuke every power of the enemy that is afflicting you. Every power of darkness that is stopping your progress. I lose you now.
I lose you now. I lose you now. I lose you now.
I judge every power that has held you bound, every power that has oppressed you. In the name of Jesus, I command them to lose your hold over your life. Lose your hold, lose your hold over your ministry. Lose your hold over your health. Lose your hold over your calling. Lose your hold over your family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen. There's somebody here. The Lord is healing you of an eye condition. An eye condition. The Lord is healing you. There is a young pastor that took testimony for me yesterday. I just want small space here. If you notice that the Lord has healed you, come here and testify. An eye condition. God is healing somebody. I come against every sinner's deliverance. Check them, check them, check them. I come against every pain, waist pain, back pain, chest pain, oh my God, heart pain. I command every form of pain in your body to disappear in the name of Jesus. Every growth that is in your body, I command that growth to disappear. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Apostle, sir.
Yes.
There's a miracle here.
Okay, what happened?
This man was not able to see at a distance.
He cannot see
at a distance.
At a distance.
He actually tells me that for 4 months,
yes,
he was not able to see. When he came here, he couldn't see the time.
Yes.
But right now, he is able to see the time accurately as 21:32.
Okay, wait. You will have to tell us the time, both the hour, the minute, and the second. Can you do it?
The time is 21:32.
Uh-huh.
The seconds are moving now. It's 50 now.
Can somebody clap for
Come
Jesus?
Come on, somebody celebrate Jesus.
Can somebody clap for Jesus? You are not clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Zambia, celebrate Jesus.
Sir,
where is the man?
Here is he, sir.
Pray for you. Come. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus. What happened?
We have another miracle here, Apostle.
Okay.
This man was sick in the morning.
Okay.
He could not attend the morning session.
Okay.
So he decided to come in the evening.
Okay.
When he came, he had a very excruciating pain in his back.
Okay.
And in his stomach and in his chest.
Just one person.
One person, sir. The moment you declared healing, he says he's completely healed. He can't feel any pain. His back is okay. He can dance and he can jump to the glory of God, Apostle.
Jesus.
Oh,
Where is that woman? I think I saw her now. What's that?
There are documents for our company.
Okay.
Yes, Apostle.
Why did you bring it?
I wanted you to listen on it.
Come. God wants to visit you. I've seen it since. Just hold it like this. Look at my eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the horn of the altar, we grant this request.
Touch!
What is wrong with him? The power of God is on him now. Can you see it? Let your limbs receive life. The Lord is telling me that there are more testimonies here.
Yes, Apostle.
What happened?
This young man, he had a stiff neck.
Okay.
Since Friday.
Since Friday.
He couldn't move his neck left, right. When he came for the service today,
okay,
as you declared healing, his neck is now fine. He's able to move it.
Move your neck.
Move your neck. Without pain, without struggle.
Why will a handsome young man like you have a neck pain? On your neck, let me see. It has left. Come. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus.
There are healing testimonies everywhere. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. You know, listen. I went for a meeting one day. And after praying for the sick, the people, they didn't expect anything to happen. So they didn't check themselves. It was when I left. Some when I was leaving. Some when I left. They now told me, Apostle, I was healed. I know some tarot that they were healed. Let me tell you how healings work. Once the first person testifies, there are people that don't believe until it happens to you and you come and speak it out. Then their own faith will be activated.
Yes, sir.
And listen to me. Some of you testifying, God will use you to heal the sick. So you are not just contacting healing. You are contacting the healing anointing. What happened? What happened?
Apostle, he has been having a sharp pain in her left eye for 2 years.
Sharp pain on the left eye.
A very, very sharp pain for 2 years.
Yes.
And she's shocked that she's trying to check if she still has the pain, and the pain has disappeared right now.
The pain has disappeared.
It has disappeared, Apostle. Somebody give a clap of into Jesus. Come
Jesus.
On.
Clap for
you
Jesus.
Can do better than that.
A sister, bring her for me. No, it's a sister's work. It's a sister's work, not a man's work. Can you look at me? The Lord has healed you. It's a demon spirit. Hold it.
Come out of her, you devil of darkness.
We need two people to hold that down. You devil of darkness. It's a demon spirit. It's living now. It's living now. It's living now. At the count of three.
Lose her, let her go. 1, 2, 3. Out.
Yes, it has gone.
Give a clap of it. Jesus, wherever you are.
You should stay alert, stay around. That's why it's usher. You have to be spiritual. Usher is not a physical work. It's a spiritual work. Look at this now. Some of these things is not human strength, it's supernatural strength. Your healing is permanent. Anytime you see a sick person, pray for the sick person. God wants to use you. Two more testimonies and then we go.
Apostle, this is another amazing testimony.
Okay, what happened?
Yesterday you gave a word of knowledge and you said there's a gentleman, there's somebody who's got a pain.
Yes.
On the right side.
Yes, yes.
Yes, so this gentleman could not come out.
What's your name?
Jacob.
Shalom.
Jacob.
Jacob. Okay.
So he says when he goes to the toilet, okay, he would feel a poo.
Wow.
From the right side, and his bladder would be in pain.
Yes.
So he decided to check this morning.
Yes.
So he went to the toilet this morning, the pain was not there.
Uh-huh.
He went in the afternoon, the pain was not there.
Wow.
He went in the evening, the pain was not there.
Glory to God.
Come on, somebody give a clap of hand to Jesus wherever you are.
Zambia, clap. Clap for Jesus.
You can do better than that.
I can do better. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Lift up your right hand. There are three cases of deliverance that God wants to do now. Lift up your hand. Father, let your fire touch these hands. Now, take that your hand. Put it on your tummy like this. Close your eyes. If I count one, you say fire. There are three cases that is urgent. Three cases of deliverance. Others be intelligent. Some of them can be quite wild. If I say one, you say fire. We are going to do it three times. One! Lose them now. Lose them now. Lose them now. Lose them now.
Two!
Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it.
Three!
by fire, by fire, by fire, by fire, by fire, by fire. Holy Ghost. Ushers, bring the people for me. I want to finish the deliverance, my God. Come, come, my brother, your healing is permanent. Come and hold this for me. Look at you. Look at you. Bring her here. She will permit all of them. Come out of her through the mouth. Come out 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 through the mouth. They will permit all of them.
Apostle,
the testimony, what happened?
This young man has been experiencing partial deafness from both his ears.
Partial deafness from both ears.
From both his ears.
Since when?
For 3 months now.
For 3 months.
Yes, Apostle.
So what happened?
To hear. But this morning, when he checked, he noticed that he was able to hear.
Okay.
This is a miracle that happened last night.
Okay.
And he's coming today to give glory to
Can
God.
Somebody clap for Jesus. Partial deafness for 3 months. That man at the back. Yes, you come. There is something God wants to do for you. Not you. The person I called knows. But come, let me just pray for you. But that's come, your healing is permanent. There are people that is withholding their testimony. Check yourself. I see cases of pain leaving. Somebody has chest pain. Chest pain, pain on your chest region. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus. May the Lord answer your hunger. God wants to pay you a visit. I'm coming. Come this way. I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ that the Lord will shift you, that the potentials of your destiny will begin to find strong expression from now. Every hindrances, limitations, let them be uprooted, let them be cleared. I see the Lord giving you a staff. You know what is a staff?
Amen. I know what it is.
A staff means a position.
Amen.
An office. I don't know when it will happen, but it will happen.
Amen.
I don't know
I receive
are,
it.
Actually. But as I pray now, several things will begin to happen in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I will advise you, don't joke with the hunger that is in your heart.
Amen.
Anytime you feel like praying, keep other things aside. Pray it.
Amen.
If you feel like fasting, keep other things aside. If you will do it,
yes,
just watch out between the next few months and the next few years. God will use you as a pillar in his kingdom. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from the apostolic grace that is upon my life, see. What is his testimony?
This young man has been having pains in his eyes.
Take your this
for 6 months now.
I'm coming. Take this eye. Put it so. Put it. Just keep it there. Keep it there. Keep it there. What happened?
He's been having pains in his eyes and his ears.
Okay.
He was actually on medication.
Okay.
But as you ministered healing, the pain has gone. in his eyes and his ears to the glory of God.
Can somebody clap for Jesus? Clap for Jesus. Your healing is complete and permanent. Jesus. I command you, blinding spirit, out! Out! Let your sight be restored. In the name of Jesus. Let your sight be restored. Let it be restored. Let it be restored. Yes. Blinding spirit, out! Out! Let your sight be restored. Let your sight be restored. Begin to see. Begin to see. Begin to see in the name of Jesus.
Apostle, sir.
Yes.
By word of knowledge, you said there's a man that has got a problem with his chest.
Okay.
This man just came out. He's been having a problem with his chest.
For how long?
Close to a year or so.
Close to a year?
Yes, yes.
Okay. What happened? How did he start?
It just started when taking a deep breath, I would feel my sternum like pricking my heart.
Okay.
Yes, but it's gone. I can't feel.
Can somebody clap for Jesus?
Come on,
clap,
somebody give a clap offering to Jesus wherever you are.
Your healing is permanent. Put your two hands on your chest. One on top of good. Jesus. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. What happened?
Okay, this lady is saying that she's been having pains in her legs that she could not wear her shoes.
Which both of the leg or one of them?